It's on Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Climate change affects everyone, but it disproportionately hurts communities of color. An Atlanta-based organization has gotten $1 million from the MacArthur Foundation to help bridge that gap. Nathaniel Smith is the founder and chief equity officer for the Partnership for Southern Equity. Hi, Nathaniel.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. And also joining us is about to talk about why people of color are more likely to suffer from climate change is Felicia Davis, sustainability coordinator at Clark Atlanta University. Hi, Felicia.
Good morning.
Felicia, let's go straight to that question. Why would climate change, which affects every human on the planet, have a harsher impact on people of color?
Well, primarily it's because of income inequities. And if you would think about a simple thing like a heat wave, and a heat wave doesn't affect most of us because we have air conditioning. But imagine just a normal hot day in Georgia and no air conditioning. For elderly, senior people, fixed income people without resources, that's a very catastrophic impact that can lead to death. And then if you look at things like storms, Katrina was the poster child for climate change. And you can see that people that had resources were able to evacuate. People who didn't were present, and some 1,500 people actually perished in the storm. Then if you look 10 years later, some of those people, 100,000 low-income African Americans, have not returned to the city. So they are just dispersed. And if we look at what was our response to the storm, there's really not even any follow-up. So low-income, vulnerable people of color who have suffered income disparities for generations are hardest hit.
So then what she's explaining, Nathaniel, is almost less about a person's skin color, and it is about fighting poverty. How do you do that?
Well, you know, I think it's difficult, first of all, to separate poverty from race. We know that our history of racial inequity in the South in particular has created a situation where low-wealth communities and communities of color have faced major economic burdens as well as environmental burdens as a result of that. And so because of that fact, communities of color, when other communities get a cold, we get pneumonia. And the energy burden and the challenges associated with climate change are a prime example of that. And so while energy challenges, of course, don't necessarily pick as a result of race who has the most challenges or who are the most burdened, because of our history in this country of racial inequity, the energy challenges that we face are exacerbated in communities of color.
But then how do you address that? I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're talking about something that goes back generations and just is really difficult to face. I'm not saying it's impossible to solve. I'm saying it's really hard. So regardless of how much money that you got from the MacArthur Foundation, how do you begin to address that?
Well, first, what you have to do is begin the process of engaging and empowering communities of color to understand how the energy burdens and the challenges that we face in community can be influenced by them being engaged in the decision-making process around the distribution and the benefits associated with the energy production. There are key opportunities for communities to be heard, like the Public Service Commission. Where are their dollars going as it pertains to utility costs? And even more important, you know, as we move away from a primarily extractive economy into a more energy efficient and sustainable economy.
Extractive means pulling coal,
right,
and
coal,
and oil out of
coal,
the ground.
Yeah, coal and the traditional ways that we generate energy into a cleaner economy, which is primarily focused, of course, on wind and solar and other sustainable matters, that we actually have an opportunity to create an economy that is not only lucrative, but also inclusive and just. So it's about preparing these populations for the new economy that is emerging, to not just be proud that we have solar panels on homes, but how can we actually use workforce development strategies to prepare communities that have been left behind so long for by our economy to lay those solar panels?
Felicia, you wanted to jump in here.
Absolutely. I think when it comes to inequality, I also work with some millennials with the HBCU Green Fund, and they argue that institutions, if you look at well-endowed institutions, be their foundations like Rockefellers and Fords
or MacArthur
or Ivy League, et cetera, that have large endowments, we're suggesting that they have to invest. So not just give away or not just make grants, but they have to invest in these communities and in particular in historically Black colleges and universities and do things that are green. So if we actually retrofit our institutions, that will send a message that reverberates throughout the community. You'll have well-educated people that have sustainable lifestyles that take that out into the community. But without that wealth kind of redistribution,
right,
you just never overcome the gap.
And it becomes even more complicated by the political discussion. So let's hear a little bit of that. Here is President Trump talking about withdrawing from the Paris Agreement.
Therefore, in order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
And for the opposing opinion, here is U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer reacting.
Pulling out of the Paris Agreement doesn't put America first. It puts America alone and last. It puts America last in recognizing science, in being a world leader in protecting our own communities, and working in concert with the family of nations in safeguarding the planet we all inhabit for future generations.
So, Nathaniel, what is already a difficult task is made more complicated by the fact that climate change is not necessarily just about science, it's about politics. How do you grapple with that?
Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, it is the politics on many occasions that can get in the way of good public policy. And recently, I elevated, how close Trump's, in the op-ed that I wrote, how close Trump's decision mirrors the decisions of past champions of Jim Crow. In the late 60s, who fought against a new tomorrow, similar to, again, George Wallace standing in front of the University of Alabama and minimizing and promoting the idea of segregation. Again, what we see is an old way of looking at our economy and our future that is actually minimizing not only our ability to be more competitive in this emerging global economy, but even more so from our perspective, minimizing opportunities for untapped communities and communities that have been suffering and marginalized to actually have a chance to be involved and be at the front of the line when the opportunities associated with a clean energy economy emerge.
So then let me put that to you. And before I do, let's hear one more comment here. This is from a video put together by the UN Development Program on Women and Climate Change.
The impact is particularly acute for women, who make up a large number of the poor communities that depend on natural resources for their livelihood. Successful action on climate change depends on engaging women as stakeholders and planners.
So we only have about a minute left, but Felicia, but how then do you begin to grapple when it is so politicized with...
So I'm just reflecting. I worked for more than a decade with an international group of women called Gender CC, Women for Climate Justice. And all around the world, women are on the front line. And what we have to do here and now is just to keep moving forward. We have someone, when you don't embrace science, there's nothing that I know to be done about that in the scientific arena. So if you have 99% of scientists around the world saying that this, in fact, is real, and we have impacts on women and children around the world, it's time for us to respond, whether it's in the U.S. or globally. So we're out, our leadership is out of step. But the rest of us, not only do we follow the science, we have to learn the science, understand the science, and that will eliminate the opportunity for leaders to misdirect the public.
That's Felicia Davis, Sustainability Coordinator at Clark Atlanta University, and Nathaniel Smith is Founder and Chief Equity Officer for the Partnership for Southern Equity. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.